Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
You're listening to Bernstein and Holmes. Middays 10 to 2 on 670 The Score.
1-2. On the ground, shortstop, Tim Anderson. Got a Sox win at Yankee Stadium. Liam Hendricks, his first save coming back. Win number 27 for the Sox, 27-35. Yankees go to 36-26, and the Sox are 4.5 back in the American League Central. Wow.
They are 4.5 back. They're still 8 under 500 at 27-35, but they're winning. It's better than being 12 under.
Yes.
So get to 500. Once they get to 500, we can start talking about things with a little bit more seriousness.
That's your stance on this?
Yeah, get to 500, and that earns you a lot more respect than being 8 under.
Even with the 8 under being 4.5 back?
Yes. Yeah, I think it's not unreasonable.
No, I don't think it's unreasonable at all. It's what we were discussing last week, where the idea of your proximity to the top of the division doesn't matter as much as whether or not your team is good.
Right.
And over the last, I mean, look, you're as whole as you're going to get if you're the White Sox right now.
We had the Sebi game because there's been a Sebi game before. There was a 3-home run game at one point. That second one was placatad.
Yes. The first one was a Yankee Stadium home run.
Yep.
And the second one, he got every single bit of it.
The second one was an any stadium home run.
Yep.
Is what that was. So the White Sox are 27-35.
Wait, is it time?
Yeah! Now, we have been using 85 as our standard for Sox math. Let me first ask, are we still keeping our benchmark at 85?
Yes, we're going to keep it at 80 because you were thinking about lowering it to 83?
Yeah.
No, we're going to keep it at 85 for now. For now. We might have to adjust it because this is a bad division, but let's still go with 85 wins the division.
Okay, because if we do the projected standings, the Fangraphs has the Twins at 83 wins. The White Sox at 70. White Sox at 75 wins. The Guardians at 78 wins. Tigers at 72. So they've got 83 as the number.
So the White Sox would need to win 84, so we might as well just keep the number at 85.
Let's just, because that's what we've been using. Love the craft work. 27-35 is where they stand. That means 62 games have been played. That leaves a clean 100 remaining on the slate.
Ooh, that makes the math a little bit easier.
I love this. This will be the easiest day I have maybe at Sox Math. So I have to enjoy this while I can. I'll probably get it wrong anyway. So I have them needing to go 58-42 from here on in.
So only 16. I mean, at one point they had to be 22 games over. And so that's 16 games over,
yeah.
Right?
They're making progress. They are making progress.
14 games over. What'd you say? 52-48?
58-42.
58-42, yes. 16.
So they are making progress. Things are getting a little bit better. Although, part of me last night was thinking, if you are feel like trading Lucas Giolito, if he puts it back together.
Best pitcher in baseball.
Well, I mean,
one of them.
He's not re-signing, right?
Well, okay. Let's talk about this.
Lucas Giolito, worst pitcher in baseball.
Stephen B. Smith. At the time that that story ran, the fortunes of the White Sox were a lot more dire than what they are right now. If you were to trade Lucas, it's pretty much the equivalent of the white flag.
Well, I mean, you'd be trading everybody.
Right?
I'm presuming that it's either you're adding and you're trying to bolster whatever this is, or you're trading everybody, and we know they haven't made a commitment yet, but...
The way that I'm looking at it is like this. They don't want to give up on what it is that they've built. Even though the indications are that it's not good enough to win a World Series, okay?
Although we know that if you get in the tournament, you can win it. It's baseball. It's high variance.
Right. That's part of the flaw in the process of how the White Sox go about this. Like, that's the sticking point for them. Where if Rick's being honest, and maybe his honesty is, I still haven't seen my team fully whole. Give me the month of June to figure out what my team looks like fully whole, and then I can make a better assessment on what to do with the parts. At the time that that report came out, and that was a Nightingale too, right? I think that was Nightingale who put that out there. At the time that came out, the White Sox were cooked. Like, they were one of the worst teams in baseball. By the way, statistically, they still are one of the worst teams in baseball. But now things look a little bit better. So if someone in the front office of the White Sox leaked that information out or offered that information up, at the time, the circumstances were different. Mm-hmm. And if you're Rick and you were the person that leaked it, you can just say, well, it's different now. Like, yes, he is high value, but he's also high value to us.
And maybe you're leaking it as a trial balloon. There's all sorts of reasons why they put something in the plumbing, see where it comes out, that kind of deal. But it doesn't matter why they did. The question is, do you think he would re-sign? I still don't think so. I think there's been so much bad blood, and the issue with that, the small difference in their arbitration numbers.
$75,000.
The quibbling over a trifling amount in their arbitration negotiation.
It seems as if Lucas likes it here. He does have Ethan Katz, who has helped him tremendously since he was a teenager, as the pitching coach here. But do you feel like you're in a position where everyone here is built to win? And if you were going to come back, you would want, assurances is a strong word, but you'd want an indication on how the front office views what this team is going to look like in the near future if you're him. And maybe they've got the indication. Lucas doesn't strike me as the type of person that'd be like, I'm not coming back here. I think that he's a lot more thoughtful than that. And he's kind of been in, oh, all right, wait and see mode on all of this stuff. But I do think the proximity to the top of the division for the White Sox plays a role in what it is that they do next. Because sure, if you're looking at it as soberly as you can, mm-hmm. You would look at the White Sox and go, they still have a long way to go to get to a point where you feel like they're contending. Do they have a lot of talent? Yes. But their talent seems to, like, look at what Luis Robert was doing. And now look at what Luis Robert is doing. And it's the inconsistency of performance. And you still got that from some of your best players. You saw it last night. You saw Robert again having a communication issue in the outfield.
In the air, left center field.
Robert is not going to make the catch. Wow, it looked like he had a play. Instead, the Yankees are going to score. Kiner Falefa drops it in. Luis Robert Jr. pulled up, Gordon.
Yeah, he did. Looks like there was a lot of miscommunication. Benintendi was tracking, and then Robert got there, and just miscommunication. He's right there. Instead of going to grab it and take charge, he thinks Benintendi's there.
Oh, man, the first hit of the game is that.
Yeah, it's a bummer. No way around it. That's a bummer.
That's bad baseball is what it is. That can't happen. That cannot happen in a big league game, whether it's the first hit or whether it's the eighth hit. That can't happen. And it's thrown into more focus when it's the first hit. But make the play. Your veteran major league outfielders.
Yes. Someone needs to make a play. So like, the sober thing, like trying to look at it soberly. You have your biggest free agent signing that you've ever had. He doesn't have a home run. It's June 7th. Your shortstop, who you were counting on, no home runs for TA either, right?
Correct.
And over a year, right? Over a calendar year?
No, it's we got to get to next month.
Okay.
It'll be a calendar year.
That's significant. Those are two positions where you would expect there to be power coming from.
You'd expect 15 from Benintendi and 20 from Anderson.
Yeah. And maybe both those guys get hot, although the trend on Benintendi says, no, he's a guy that still gets on base. He still can drive balls, but he's not getting any lift. So when you really look at it, you go, Grandal has kind of come back to normal. And I mean, normal for him in a White Sox uniform, which has been at times okay, but mostly not okay. Which begs the question, if you're a team that has designs on winning the American League Central, and you know that you are struggling from a run production standpoint and a power standpoint, how can you write a lineup without Jake Berger in it?
There's a whole segment for that.
I know.
We're setting aside a whole segment for that, but you can't. You see, ball go far, team go far, hit the ball over the fence. It's the most efficient way to score runs. You have somebody who does that. You have someone who hits balls over fences.
Yeah, who did one for you just on Sunday.
And I'm not going to indulge my begs the question pet peeve here, because I know people are going to ask me to do that, because I feel like that Peter Sagal and I are the last people that represent a constituency.
It begs the question.
No, it doesn't. Begging the question is arguing while assuming the conclusion of the argument as part of the argument.
But it begs the question,
no,
Dan.
It doesn't beg that. I won't. I won't do it. I will hold off. I will save it.
You know, that begs the question, why wouldn't you?
The other problem, are the White Sox just remarkably unathletic? They're so slow. They have so many slow guys.
I think that Andrew Vaughn is slower than Konerko.
No, he's close, but he's not.
I think he's slower than Konerko.
No, he's not. No,
how
he's not.
Did he not get to first base on that ball?
On the sailfish?
Yeah. Josh Donaldson is just launching a Hail Mary to first base and gets him by a step.
Well, because
I could have beat that ball out.
Of course you could have. But so my contention years ago, I said Paul Konerko in Major League Baseball was the slowest non-fat
catcher,
non-hurt non-catcher. So somebody like Grandal is a hurt catcher.
Yeah.
So he's got two.
His knees is bone on bone at this
point. Not old. That was another criterion. It was old, fat, hurt, and catcher. So Grandal is old, hurt, catcher. Vaughn.
Old, hurt, right? Catcher.
Vaughn is not hurt. But then again, the whole White Sox sore legs thing. We never know where they are on the continuum of, ow, my legs hurt, right?
Yeah, we saw that last night, too.
Swaggy, no. Yeah, what's Moncada doing?
This is what I'm saying.
Anderson does it. Moncada does it. Like, it's, I don't know. They seem to lack athleticism compared to other baseball teams that you see? Where guys are zipping around and they're all like elastic and twitchy.
There are times where it seems like they lack the desire to play.
Oh, that's a different argument. That's different. They just seem...
Because it was like, oh, I might have a hit. I don't have a hit. Well, I could have a hit.
No, he bobbled it.
Never mind.
So when Gordon Beckham called it a sailfish, I immediately remembered, wait a second, that's a Robin Ventura thing. And so in the middle of the game, because I'm annoying. So,
are you a sailfish too?
So I texted Benetti. I'm like, Jason, when you guys go to break, ask him off the air if the sailfish is some sort of Robin Ventura thing, because he used to name all his throws after fish that I remembered. So it got there. Like, as I'm typing, like, just after I sent the text, Benetti's like, or Beckham says, you know, that sailfish is something that Robin Ventura used to say, and then they kind of got going. He's like, well, a salmon is one where you're swimming upstream. The catfish is a bottom feeder, so that's the one that hops into the first baseman. There's a tuna. I forgot what the tuna was. But
it looks like Bill Parcells.
But every Robin Ventura throw from third, with the exception of the three-step drop, which is on like the high chopper you have to wait on. And he called that the three-step drop because it was a quarterback footwork. But I remembered that he named all his throws after fish, and I was very, very glad that they got there because I felt I had to program the broadcast at that point.
Well, it's at least you're paying attention to the broadcast.
Oh, yeah. Well, I also, somebody has to tell Benetti when he makes a reference that only like three or four people are going to get.
Yeah, but he does that all the time.
I know.
I'm sure someone will tell him, and I'm sure it's the owner of the White Sox. That didn't make me laugh at all.
I hired a broadcaster, not somebody who makes obscure David Foster Wallace references.
Baseball players wear spikes.
So White Sox.
Not cleats, young man. Where's Mike Monaco? I like the cut of his jib.
I got Mike Monaco sitting next to me on the couch right here. I've got my arm around him. We're sharing a cigar. Mike, what do you think, young man? You're a strapping young lad. And I like you because you're a professional.
You know about spikes.
Thank you for wearing spikes.
While you're broadcasting the game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.